You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Erk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music. Apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band, it's now 2010 and Erk comes down the pipe and into your ears. Bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Erk FM time. Now here's your host of Erk FM from Channel Erk. Here's Erk!
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 86 of Erk FM. Erk FM is my music podcast on Channel Erk, channelerk.com. Erk FM comes down the pipe and into your ears every Friday at the end of your working week. But today is Tuesday, and it's time for another interview. Across the studio from me, we have Judy, who's the host of Judy's Blast FM. Hello.
Hi.
How are you going?
Good.
And on the line from New York, we have Will Danes. G'day, Will.
Good day. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good, mate. Was that an attempt at a g'day, was it?
Yeah, I it just came out. It wasn't intentional. I just heard you say g'day, and I said, hey. And that was just me being, I don't know, silliness, I guess.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
No, yeah. It's all good. There's a lot of people who feel the need to do that sort of impersonation. So
it's all right, because I'm learning from a couple of my listeners have been teaching me how to talk. Was it South Carolina?
Yeah, they'll be teaching me to talk like a southerner.
How y'all going over there?
Really?
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing. I love accents.
Yeah, so do I.
And what's amazing is, in living in New York City, it's always actually, I'm so used to hearing all the different accents from people who come from so many different places here. Mm. When I meet someone that doesn't have an accent, it actually sounds weird to my ears. It's so amazing living in New York, because everybody here is from someplace else.
Yeah.
And not only that, though, people who are here, who I guess native here, their accent, if you live in Brooklyn, your accent's different than if you are from the Bronx or if you're from Manhattan. It's just one of those things, I guess, that if you're conscious of it, you're just like, wow, this person lives 15 minutes from me, but their accent is completely different from mine.
So, Will, are you born and bred New York?
Yes, I was born and raised in the Bronx. Grew up in the Bronx and lived here my whole life.
So has the Bronx changed much for you in your lifetime? I accidentally, when I was coming from upstate, I was using my GPS device and it accidentally decided that I wanted to go to the Bronx. And so it was a bit of an eye-opener for me.
Yes, where I grew up now... where I grew up in the Bronx, I live in Queens now, but where I grew up over there, it's very different. It's a very different place. And I guess that's just a natural thing. Things, when you're out of an environment and you go back to that environment, I don't necessarily think that it changes per se. I think you change.
Yeah.
So, so when you go back there, because I still have family that live in the Bronx, and I go visit them quite often, and you do notice differences, and it's more, I think, a big difference is, stores, shops, buildings that were there are not there anymore, I think that's one of the biggest things you notice right off the bat. You're like, wow, for example, there used to be like a bread factory up the block from my grandparents' house. And when I go there, you would smell like the bread when they made it in the morning. Mm. And then one day I was there and I didn't smell it anymore. And I'm like, what happened? They were like, oh, it closed down. It's been closed for years. You just noticed this now? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that changes, I think. And, you know, and I think and also as you get older, you change. And so, you know, I think that's what it is. You know, I mean, obviously neighborhoods do sometimes turn for the worse. Some neighborhoods get better. But I think for the most part is I think that you kind of, as you grow, your perception changes, you know, especially when you move around a lot, or travel a lot. Touring around the country, I've seen a lot of different areas, a lot of different neighborhoods. And so I think that kind of has an effect on you and an effect on your perception of, does that make sense?
It does. Is it a case of you can take the boy out of the Bronx, but you can't take the Bronx out of the boy?
Yes. I think in some cases, but I think that when you're exposed to different environments, different cultures. I mean, traveling going to California is a completely different culture than living on the East Coast of New York City. It's like night and day. I think that you become a more cultured person, you look at things a little bit differently than when you than just staying in one place your whole life, you know. And so, but at the end of the day, it's funny because in certain situations you kind of revert back to wherever you come from. So I think you can never take that part of you out of you. Like if you were born and raised and you live in a certain area your whole life, it's a part of who you are. It's that whole Britney Spears thing. Dare I say it? You can take the girl out of the trailer, but you can't take the trailer out of the girl.
So how did you get started in music in the first place?
I started out in music when I was in... my dad was an avid Beatles fan. And he played guitar and he sang. And I could swear up and down that my dad was a Beatle. Because he sounded just like them. It was scary. And he would just play all the time. And he would play the records. He would play it on guitar. And I remember being, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And he would just play Beatles tunes. And me and my little sister would just run around dancing around the house while he was playing. And I guess that was my first being exposed to it initially, and from there it grew when I got into junior high school, I would say, where I picked up the tenor saxophone because I was big enough to hold it. The teacher just said, here, you're big enough to hold this, to play it, so you're going to be the tenor sax player for the school band. And then it just evolved from there. I started listening to bands like Def Leppard, Van Halen, and they really... that really influenced me, and you know, all those 80s hair bands really had a big influence on me. And that was it for me. Once I discovered that you can play guitar and have people acknowledge it, I guess, you know, like, wow, you can play that song, it basically just fueled the fire. And I just it made me want to do it more, and that's all I did. And then that was it for me.
With you playing the sax first, do you think that would have helped your lungs? Because, you know, having to hold the air to play your notes, do you think that would have helped you better with your singing?
Actually, maybe. I never thought of it. But when I was playing the sax, from playing the sax and then maybe a few years later getting into playing bass guitar, not regular guitar, I would want to sing in whatever band I was in, and I had a horrible voice. No one wanted me to sing. Mm. They would be, you know, a lot of my friends would be like, well, just sit in the corner and play the bass, you know, don't sing, you know. And I didn't actually start singing until later, mm-hmm. until maybe, I'm going to say, maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I started actually singing.
Maybe and your voice had to mature, say?
Yes, yeah, my voice had to mature, I guess, and I had to mature, and I had to, you know, for me, it was a big deal to actually start writing my own material and just not being a bass player in a band. And just, you know, and just doing my part. It was a big deal because it was something in me that I always wanted to do, but I never, I guess I wasn't in that place yet. And then once I got to that place, it was like downward spiral. And I remember I was playing for this band and they needed a lead singer. And I would just joke around and I would just take the lead and I would sing and we would play and I would sing and they would be like, well, why don't you sing for us? And I'd be like, no, not interested. And so they were kind of like, but why, you know? And I just didn't have the confidence, I guess, to actually do it. And when that band dissolved, then it was after, you know, probably a few years later, I decided to just try writing in general, my own material. And that's where I just wrote my first record, Stay, that led to that. It turned into that. And after that, that was it. You know, I just didn't want to, I couldn't see myself doing anything else anymore. For a long time, I was hesitant to even call myself a singer-songwriter because I was a bass player, and so people would say, "So what do you do?" And I would say, "I'm a bass player." But then they would hear my music, they go, "Well, you sang on this and you wrote these songs." I'm like, "Well, I played bass on the record, you know." But they were very, you know, they're like, "No, but you're a singer-songwriter because you write and you sing." And it took me a while to kind of put myself into that category. You know, because my background was always being in the background and just playing and, you know, and not, you know, and not being in getting the attention that doing this record got me. Mm. So it was very different. It was very real. Like, I didn't really know what I was getting into when I did it at the time. And it was one of those things that I did because it was inside of me and it needed to come out. And I didn't really know what kind of an impact it was going to have. I didn't even think about it. When I put my songs on MySpace, I didn't even think that I would get as many hits and as many plays as I did.
Stay has had quite a big, on your website, has had a very big, yes. What was it on here? 265,443 plays. That's a very, very big.
And then if you go up to Super Wonderful, it's approaching 500,000.
Yes, it is, really. I didn't even realize that. Wow. Yeah. And so for me, it was very, it's still very like shocking. Like, I still don't, I'm in shock. I'm sorry.
You sound like you're in shock.
Yes, it is very shocking because I never really expected it. For me, it was just something that I just, you know, I wrote a bunch of songs, and I recorded them, and I put them on my MySpace page because that's what everybody else was doing, and I never really expected for it to even you know, turn into more. I mean, I recorded the record and I forgot about it. I basically posted it on my MySpace page, and I think the first song I posted was Stay, and in like 3 months it was at the 12,000 plays, and I didn't even know. Somebody pointed it out to me and they were like, "Yo, Will, you know that song has like 12,000 plays already." And I'm like, "What?" Like, I didn't even understand the concept of MySpace at the time either.
Yeah.
I didn't really get it. And, and it still hasn't really hit me. I mean, you know, at times I'm like, wow, you know, especially when I see people, especially when, a good example is my very first show. I had a fan who is now a really close friend. He bought. I put a band together, you know, and I never and I played the first show. And in my mind, it was like, all right, I'm going to play this one show, and that's it. And then I'll, you know, do something else, or, you know, I'll look for another band, or you know, I'll play bass in another band or something. And this kid bought my record. He was the first person to actually buy the first. He bought the very first record I sold, which is really, really funny. And then somehow through the first show I played, I got a couple of other shows. And I sent an email out to a few people, and he replied to me. I didn't even know he was on my mailing list. He was like, "Oh my God, you're playing here next week? Oh yeah, I'll be there." And so he shows up, and we start talking about my songs, and he tells me, he goes, "You know, your song Super Wonderful really helped me in a relationship with someone that I'm getting married to now, because when I met them, I was really on the fence, and then I heard a line from your song. It really stuck out in my head, and it really made me push forward, you know." And it was a very cheesy moment, but at the same time, it was really like, really? Like, for real? And it was just very, very surreal. And whenever that happens, for me, it's a very, very surreal type of thing, because I don't go looking for it or expecting it, and it happens, and I appreciate it when it happens. Mm. It's one of those things where you're like, wow, really? Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think that part of that has a lot to do with the fact that I never expected people. I never expected, you know, I never expected any of that. Like, I just write songs and I enjoy it. And I think that that's what's important more than anything, is just to do something that you enjoy to do. It goes hand in hand with that saying, is do what you love. Everything good will follow if you're doing something that you love. Mm.
So what really, what genre do you put yourself in?
Genre, I put myself in, I would say pop rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, like when people ask me who I sound like, I'll say, you know, you take Ben Folds, Desperate Confessional, Keen, put them in a blender, and that's what I get, and you know, and you get me. Hey, hello.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
what you should say. So, it's me.
It's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, so yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, it's top 40 pop rock. It's what, you know, you would put on the radio and you would hear, you know, it would kind of just blend in with what's on the radio, which isn't a bad thing. You know, it's, you know, 'cause for a while there, I kind of would, you know, I would be very hard on myself with that fact where, you know, it's like, oh, it sounds like everything else.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people like it. So, yeah. I mean, so what? You know, people like your music. Does it really matter? What matters is that you created something and you're blessed and you're lucky enough to have other people take time out of their days to actually appreciate something that you did. You know, and I think that that's a very powerful thing.
Mm. But I really don't think the genre, to me, the classification of a set genre, unless it's something like, what would you say?
Jazz.
I'm not a real jazz.
Classical music.
Yeah, but your sort of voice, you've got that range where you can actually put yourself in country, pop rock, and I'm sure you could slip in a little bit of folk there.
Yes.
So, and you know, which is really good because you're sort of covering the whole range of different genres, which will get you a better variety of followers as well.
Yes, know? And especially in this day and age with the internet,
yeah,
everybody. Yeah. I mean, you don't really have to classify yourself anymore. No. I think that whole traditional, you know, thing where people go, well, what are you? You know, yeah, it's great to have kind of a general idea to give someone so they get a gist of it. Mm. But I don't think you have to pigeonhole yourself anymore.
No,
Like in the past, you kind of had to say, all right, I'm a rock band and we perform this type of music, or I'm R&B, or I'm soul. More and more now, you see so many artists branching off, and not only musically, but I mean, in this day and age, you see artists doing film, you see artists doing radio, you see artists doing the whole spectrum, and it's, you know, the whole classification now is kind of out the door, and I think a big part of that is because of the internet, you can experiment more. It's people. I think people are more accepting of it now than they used to be, because I think now they're primed for it. Yeah. You know, when you listen to a lot of artists, when you listen to these artists, you know, they have their core sound, but now they expand on it. They can experiment with it, and the fans don't get upset anymore. And also, I think because the turnaround time, as far as being able to release music, is a lot shorter now because everything's digital. You can go into the studio and record, you know, a ton of songs, you know, in a week, and then 3 months later you can go back and do more, and because of that, you know, it's a lot more, it's a lot cheaper also because everything's digital, so the resources are there for pretty much anyone to go in and record tracks or to experiment with stuff, even from a video perspective, making films. You have all these amateur filmmakers. Thank God for YouTube, or maybe not.
Well, I was actually at a show the other day with some friends of mine, and we were talking about, like, back in the old days, I had a partner that used to play lead guitar, and he was in a country, you know, he was a freelance guitarist, but he was with, like, a four-piece band, and then he did freelance with duos. Now, they often, when they went to, they get him to play lead when they cut a track. And I actually went into the studios to watch him get it done. And, I mean, just to cut, like, each section, divide it up, people don't realise how much work goes in just to cut one track. How many hours? And as you said, you go back, it's all on digital. Whereas now, people are cutting them in their own homes now. And they've got all this equipment that they can put in drum machines and all these other different... there's one there that Eric interviewed, one lady, and she does all that music, and she puts all the different types of music in the background. She does herself. And, wow. I mean, you'd think it was a full orchestra or whatever, but it's just one, her pressing buttons, bringing them in as she goes along. And, I mean, there's so much with technology these days compared back in my era, you know, and it's the same now. We used to buy cassettes, you know, whereas now you buy the DVD, and now you've got your CDs and your DVDs. Well, these guys are going out into a paddock, and they're using their mobile phones, and I know from experience with Eric, he goes out with these other shows, and he uses just his mobile phone, and he records these little videos to put on our website. And ambient noises is another one. And it's just all on a phone nowadays. Yeah, whereas you couldn't do that once upon a time. You'd have to set up all this big gear and, you know, it's just so different. And I would say at least 90% of the artists these days would not know how to cut a proper album because it's all done at home virtually, you know. There's a different quality as well. You know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is a different quality, and I have friends who were, I guess you would classify them as purists, and you know they go about doing their recordings a certain way, and when you say, you know, dude, I could do that on my laptop, you know, they look at you with a look of horror, like how dare you even bring that up, you know?
Yeah,
you
know, and the whole thing is in a studio they get to the stage where, I don't know about you, but here we've got that on pay TV. They've got the CMC, Country Music Show, and you see them, you know, the singers there singing, you know, and 1 minute they're out in a paddock and the next minute they're in a studio and recording. And the trouble with it now is that they get so, fussy over their thing that in the end they get too fussy. And instead of going in, cutting it, saying, one take, that's it, or two takes, whatever. But then they go for days and days and days and days because they get too fussy. And like you said, you know, it becomes just too overrated. Whereas now you can just cut a little bit out with this editing, cut and pasting and everything else. It's marvellous what you can do, or if you want to put a full band in behind it, you can add it. You can add it later. You know, I think technology now has just come a long way. It's so different, you know?
It's totally different. Like, what's that band that when I heard them, it blew me out of the water. Owl City, I think the name of the band is. Is it Owl City?
I haven't.
It's one guy, and if you hear, I think the band is Owl City. I'm not sure. He's very, very. Yeah, it's Owl City. It's the album is called Ocean Eyes, and there's a song. Right now that's really big here in the States that's called Fireflies, and it's just one person, and he did everything electronically.
Mm.
And when I first heard that song, it blew me out of the water. I was like, for real? And you know, when you hear it, and then I heard the song, and then I went and looked them up, and it's just one person, and he did everything himself electronically.
Yeah.
And it just sounds the whole record just sounds amazing.
Mm.
And then I started looking, you know, I watched him on YouTube, and it's just, he does a show. He doesn't even have a band. It's just him with his equipment and a microphone, and that's it.
Yeah.
There is nothing else.
Devo Spice from The Fump, and he was saying, like, he's a comedy front man, you know, and he said what he does is, when he does a show on his own, he's got the big screen up behind him, and he has the, like, pictures coming out of a little thing on the floor, and he controls it off his computer, and he just presses a button for the scene for that song. And, you know, it's marvellous, because how you can, you know, like, what is it? It'd be a cross with karaoke and a one-man band sort of thing.
Yes.
You never used to get that once upon a time, but now I think with all these people doing DVDs to release their music, I mean, you see them, one minute they're in a studio, the next minute they're out in a paddock walking around, or, you know, they're at a rodeo or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, when you go into a pub or a club or wherever you go to do your music, you haven't got all that. They're only looking at you.
That's right.
You know, I think that's where I think it's a bit overrated with the DVDs.
Yes, I tend to agree with that. I think it is a bit overrated, but you know, but the thing is, as an artist,
it does sell.
You want your stuff to sound and look the way you
envision. I mean, you see these guys with all these sexy little chicky babies in their bikinis running around, and you know, you turn around, you don't see them coming to a show, standing up behind them doing it, you know.
No, you don't. So. Well, I mean, but that's the whole part of the music industry. I mean, I know here in the United States, it's like, you know, you want to sell, and that sells, that gets the kids, you know, to go out and buy the records. It's not necessarily a good thing as far as role model wise.
Yeah. Oh, I say sex sells.
Yeah. But that's what, unfortunately, that's what sells. And that's what, you know, that's what gets, you know, that's how these, you know, these big record executives make their money, you know. And if, you know, if it was the opposite, and having someone in a suit and a tie, you know, sell records, they would do that. And you know, they have to, you know, and when you look at record labels, they're hooting and hollering, screaming because they're losing money hand over fist. And that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother conversation though. I mean, you know, you look at these labels, and they, you know, they've been doing things a certain way for so many years, and now they don't know how to adjust to the changing, to the end, how the internet has impacted their business. And it's really turned into, it's almost like the Wild West all over again. And you know, it's like, well, who's going to come out ahead at this point? And I don't think anyone really knows. You know,
When you do your shows, are you doing it on your own, or do you have a backing band?
It depends on the venue. When I go on tour and I play colleges, I usually will take a side man with me, and so I can have two guitars and backing vocals. Mm. It depends on how far it is, you know, obviously. When I do something that's within driving distance, I'll take the whole band and do the whole band thing. I love playing with the full band, but I also love playing, you know, by myself or with a side person, because it's, you know, because you get a more intimate experience when it's just you and the guitar. You know, I know for me, it really depends on the venue, and really depends on the, on, you know, on what's appropriate, I guess. Because last night, The show that I did, I had the full band, but we did an acoustic show.
Oh.
And instead of having a drummer, we got a conga player, and the songs, you know, it was a very, at first it was very, okay, this sounds a little different, but once we ran through the set a few times in rehearsal with a conga player, with basically a percussionist, it was just like, wow, it was like, this is amazing, like, this is, you know. And I was, when right before the show, I was really nervous about it. I'm like, well, what if we go up there, you know, and these guys are expecting us to rock out, and now they're hearing this kind of unplugged version of the songs. And it actually went over a lot better than I thought it was going to. And I was like, wow, it's great sometimes to try something different. Mm-hmm. and not just, you know, do the same thing all over again. It's, you know, and I think that's a great thing about being an indie artist, is that you can take chances like that and experiment. You know, you don't have to do it the cookie cutter way. You don't have to do it, you know, the same way every time. You can take chances and do things differently and have them pay off or blow up in your face. It doesn't really, you know, you know, but at the end of the day, you have no one to answer to but yourself.
That's right.
You know, and I think it goes a long way to also finding what works and what doesn't work, you know, and because, you know, you don't have the luxury of having a person, come in and say, okay, well, during this song, you're going to go here and do this. You're going to go over there and sing this like this. You don't have a stage manager, to come in and kind of, you know, say, okay, this song sounds better this way or like that. You have to kind of make it up as you go along and you have to try and do whatever you feel is right and hope it works out for the best.
So the other night, Will, you had a sellout show where the doors were actually locked so no one else could get in. Tell us a bit about that. What happened?
Basically, at the FDNY showed up at the show and they stopped people from getting into the venue because it was filled to the maximum occupancy of how many people are allowed into the actual venue for it to be safe in case there's an emergency and people need to leave, which is a very serious thing. And it was very surreal for me because when I went on stage and I saw how packed it was in there, when the person hosting the show said to me, yeah, there's a lot more people waiting outside to get in to see you. I was like, really? I didn't even, like, it was just one of those things where it didn't even register, you know, until afterwards where I walked out of the venue and I'm walking online and people are still waiting to get in. You know, and I felt so bad. I just started handing out CDs to people and, you know, and signing them and, you know, giving out free stickers, whatever I had on me left over. I just started giving out to everybody and it seemed to go over well. You know, and it was just one of those things where, you know, you just don't expect it. And then when it happens, you're like, holy crap, this is incredible. And you know, it's a pretty big place. It holds a few hundred people. So for that, for people to be like lined up outside, you know, it's just wow. It's just really, like, for real. This really happened. So it was definitely an experience and one that I will keep with me for a very, very long time.
So was that the first time that it actually happened to you?
Yes, because in New York City, I have never ever been to. I mean, even in hanging out and going out in the city, you know, you go into these clubs, and there you can't walk, and they don't care. They just keep shoving people in there because, you know, bar wants to make its money for the night. You know, the club wants to make as much as it possibly can. So, so you never really have to worry about something like that. And I guess it was just one of those things where, you know, it's one of those things, I guess, that just happens. And, you know, and I guess the fact I probably would never have even realized it and that happened. And, you know, if not for the FDNY showing up and it being brought to my attention, you know, and I think that made it even more surreal. It was like, wow, really? For real? You know, so, yeah.
So why don't we hear a track? Because I think it's important not only that we have the interview, that people actually hear what you sound like. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Super Wonderful?
Super Wonderful is a song that I wrote about a person that I was going through that was getting out of a relationship, or I'm not going to say getting out, actually, that's the wrong word, that was in a relationship that was very, I guess, the relationship that she, I'm trying to find a way to make it sound not as deep, because it's not a very deep song. It's not meant to be a very deep song. It's meant to be a song to kind of cheer up the person. It was a person that I really, really liked, and she was in a abusive relationship, lack for a better word, and so she never really felt good about herself, and that was my way of letting her know that, look, you're a really awesome person, you're a very, very, very good person, you're a great person, you know, you don't deserve this, you deserve more, and you should realize, and you know, and I hope that you realize that one day. And so that's what Super Wonderful is about, just telling a person how great they are, and for them to not take things so hard, I guess, and feel so bad about their situation, and feel like there's no way out of it. And so I wrote that song basically, you know, in a very lighthearted, you know, friendly, easy type of thing, and you know, to not really get too deep or emotional, and you know, because it was kind of more of like a, hey, just hear this and cheer up, you know. And when I gave her the song to hear, it was very she was very taken aback by it, you know. She was very like, wow, this is, you know, it was really funny, actually, because we just started laughing you know, so it was really funny, and it was a very, very cool moment for me.
And I bet a lot of girls could relate to the song.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it was, you know, it was very like, it was one of those situations where it's a very cool moment, and you know, it's almost like you actually complete the circle, because the person actually got to hear the song, and you got to actually tell them why you wrote the song and how they inspired the song. And so I think that's a wonderful thing to be able to do that, instead of just say writing a song and just moving on and never really letting the person know what you know, or people know what really inspired it. You actually are able to, you know, and complete the circle, you know, and really get the reaction, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Mm. So here it is, Super Wonderful by Will Danes.
There she goes, walking away from me. I can tell by the way she smiles, she'll never know who that's me. What's it gonna take to get through to you? Do I have to play your games? For you I play a fool. Don't have to be in love to be with someone new. That comes in time. Keep watching them change. Oh, 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 I just need you to know that I'll always be the same.
You're listening to episode 86 of IRC FM, an interview with Will Danes, joined here in the studio by Judy from Judy's Blast FM. How did you find Will in the first place?
I was a guest on Bounce Radio with Zola, and he was interviewing Will, and I actually heard the interview, and I thought, this guy's got a wonderful voice. And so I got his information off Les later on, and then I contacted him, and I actually follow him on Facebook now. Don't say much to you, but I do. I am there. So I've sort of been following you now for nearly 5-6 months now, I'd say. It was before Christmas.
Thank you very much.
It would have been before Christmas when you were on Les's show.
That was before Christmas, I believe.
It would have been about November, beginning of December when I first heard you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
you were saying to us a bit earlier, Will, that interview that you did with Les was in a very different environment to what this one is, where you're in the comfort of your own home.
Yes, and I'm very chill and... Yeah, it was one of probably the most crazy interviews I ever did, because there was so much going on. There was just a lot going on, people talking, screaming, and you know, you're trying to hear yourself talk. You don't really know what you're saying. You're just talking into the phone and you're trying to be, you're trying to be as hospitable and friendly and, you know, you're trying to be a lot of things, but there's so much going on around you. It's like, it's very difficult to focus and to just kind of just, you know, be relaxed and to just, you know.
Extracting you away.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
They extract your mind, you know.
Exactly.
From what you're trying to think to say, and you sort of think, oh, if they hear me saying this about myself or that, and you think, oh, what are they going to think I am, you know?
You don't really have the time to think about what you're going to say before you say it. You kind of just do off the cuff.
I've noticed with this interview, you have grown a lot in the last 5-6 months. In your voice, you seem to have matured. You know what you're talking about. You're very confident in yourself, which is very good.
Thank you. That's funny that you say that, because, these past 5 or 6 months, I've had a lot of things personally happen in my life that have giving me new perspective on things. So yes.
That's good.
Yes, and also I really thought a lot after that interview, actually. When I heard it, I thought a lot about the things that I said, and I was like, wow. You know?
It wasn't a very long interview either, was it?
No, it wasn't very long.
It's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was 20 minutes. It was, yeah. So when I go back and listen to it, I'm like, wow. I really need to think about what I'm saying before I say it from now on.
Did you keep a copy of that?
Yes. I keep a copy of everything.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to go back.
Yeah, I keep a copy of, I mean, I have one of those, you know how Google, you can put a subject, and then like if it ever hits it, it actually emails you and says that it was talked about.
I have that
set up for me. Yeah. So anybody writes anything about me or mentions me in a, I don't know if it works with podcasts. I know it works with, it does. If they write, if they do a write up on you, anything that gets written about you, you get an email notification. Yeah. So I have that set up. So, so that
I've had that done, on our website, I put up who's coming for that week. So does Eric, you know, and yes. I did I did this little girl, and she was an opera singer, and I was surprised how her father found me.
Yes.
And that's how he did it. He Googled her name, and that's what happens, you know. Whenever her name is mentioned on anything, because she's underage as well, see, is another principle of it as well too, you know. So which is good, because you find out where you actually, maybe in another few years when you're rich and famous...
Yeah.
We'll be able to say, oh, I knew him.
Yeah, we interviewed that guy.
We interviewed that guy.
Hey, and you can have me back on and interview me again and again.
Well, we've got this on tape now, so we'll keep you up to that. I want an autographed copy of your album, please. I'm saving them.
I'll send you as many as you want.
Okay. We'll give you the address after the show.
Sure. But that's the thing with Google. It's great because when I do get like someone will view my record that, you know, and they'll, you know, and they won't even tell you. They'll just write a review on you. Don't you never get an email, you know. So it's great because when it comes up, I'm able to like send them a nice email saying, hey, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to my record. And
that's right. Well, that's what we always believe in. We contact the person. We don't have to. But we, out of protocol, we contact them and let them know the episode, the show number, and whatever. And we turn around then. And I mean, it is very, I love it when somebody comes back and contacts me. And lets me know, like, I've got you on, you've got that feed newsletter.
Yes.
So would you like to tell our listeners how they can contact you as a follower? So
oh,
that
sure.
way they can...
You can... Yeah, sure. You can obviously... I have my... I guess the main... Now, the easiest main way to contact me would be through Facebook, because that seems to be the new MySpace.
Yes.
And... It's like here we have a saying, Thursday is a new Friday. Yeah. So now it's like Facebook is the new MySpace. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Funny parallel. But yeah, Facebook is probably the best way to contact me, and that's facebook.com/WillDaines, WILDEYNES. And I always reply to every email that I get, to every message I get. If I don't get back to you right away, I do get back to you. Sometimes I get inundated with mail, and so it takes me a while to get back to the person, who, you know. But I always get back to everybody who contacts me. I always get back to you one way or another. So if you want to chat on Facebook, and if I'm logged on, hit me up, you know, and I will always reply. I will always take a minute to just, you know, and I don't even really consider my fans fans. I consider my fans friends.
Yeah, well, that's the same as with us. We've got our channel IRC. Fan group, but I always, when I do my writing up of the what's coming up and that, I put fans/friend, because
yes.
I'm like you, I don't think I'm any different to the guy next door, and
yeah,
I think absolutely. I mean, we're human beings, we're all the same, you know.
Exactly.
And the simple fact is, as I say, we're all pink and salty inside. So
exactly.
It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It's inside that counts.
Exactly.
And the simple fact is, that's why I call it a friend group, you know?
Yeah.
And I've made some lovely friends. I've got more friends. That's why I don't know whether you've ever seen a saying on the internet thing. My computer is my friendship farm, you know?
Oh, wow.
I live on Facebook. It's my second home. And
okay.
I have more friends on Facebook than what I do in real life now.
Wow.
And
I think a lot of people can say that,
yeah.
You know, which is very amazing.
Well,
because
yeah, it's
the internet has broke barriers and brought people together.
Exactly. You know, it's not just for publicity, and you see a lot of people on there that are in bands and everything in publicity. It's also it's a bit of entertainment, friendship. You know, like people send out birthdays, Christmas, Easter. I mean, you always know when something's going on because Facebook lets you know. You know, it's Valentine's
yes.
Day, Leprechaun's Day, or whatever day, you know.
That's Leprechaun it, Day, really?
Well, I couldn't think of the other word. What was it? Unicorns. No, Irish Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Leprechaun Day.
Leprechaun's Day. Well, I start a new craze, okay? Leprechaun's Day.
Hang on, what's today? Today's the 29th of March, so it's Leprechaun Day now.
Leprechaun's Day today, yes. No, I think they should call it Old Ladies' Day.
You guys are a day ahead, right? Cause
yeah.
It's Sunday. It's Sunday here.
Yeah, we're a day ahead.
It's approaching lunchtime on Monday.
What time is it? It's the middle of the day over there?
Yeah, it's approaching lunchtime.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's like 8. It's like 8:40 over here at night, Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're winding down, getting ready for the week. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, we've just gotten out of bed. Start of the week.
So, Will, tell...
And I bet, I'm sorry?
So tell us, mate, about how you write your songs. What inspires you to write music?
People inspire me to write music. I love people. I love watching people on the train. I love watching people. I'm at a restaurant eating. I'm sorry?
Eric's a train driver.
Oh, you are?
So dude, I get to watch lots of people.
Dude, I've always wanted to drive a train. Like, I'm fascinated. Well, I've always been fascinated with, like, big, like, trucks and, like, you know, like, big things. I guess it's part of being a guy. Like, you're just fascinated with that stuff.
Well, you have to write a song for all our trucker friends out there. We've got quite a few listeners that are truckers. And uh-huh. They follow our show, and they tape us, and they take us out on their trucks, and they play our music. So you really? Probably get a few guys there that'll like your music, because I think they will.
I thought you were going to hit him up for an elephant song.
No.
Elephant song?
I collect elephants. I'm an elephant freak. Even my website, as you can see, it's an elephant.
Yeah.
And you probably wondered why. Yeah, well, I get people sending me photos, and that's why the different photos come up on Facebook, because okay. I've got friends that send me, they find a funny elephant. I've actually had a friend the other day said that their friend's getting married and they're having an elephant on their wedding cake. Now, I mean, I'm pretty thing-eyed with elephants, but I'm not that desperate. And then she's going to get a photo of the elephants on the wedding cake, and she's going to send it to me. So it's going to be another photo up on Facebook.
Wow.
So you see any unusual elephants, send them to me.
Oh, so, yeah, definitely I will.
Yeah.
I definitely will. When I go to the – well, I think we're planning – me and a few friends are planning a trip to the zoo, the Bronx Zoo. So when we go to the elephants, I'll take some photos and I'll send them to you.
I'd love that. Thanks.
Pretty cool. So do you sit down at a specific time and think, okay, I want to put out another album, you know, right now? Or?
It doesn't work that way. At least for me, it doesn't work that way. Stay was my first record, and that was just how I wrote that record. If you listen to the songs, each song is pretty unique. Which I think is a great thing. It's like the songs are very different from each other. They don't really sound the same. They're five very distinct songs. And when I write, I kind of would just, you know, I'll get a melody in my head. I'll jot it down and I'll just come up with a bunch of songs, and then I'll just finish them. And then I'll meet with my producer. And we'll just scroll through what we like, and then what we don't like, we'll just put on the side. But I don't, there really isn't any rhyme or reason to it. You just kind of just, I just kind of come up what I come up with. And where I was going with before with my record Stay, what I was trying to get to was that those were the first five songs that I ever wrote. I didn't write like 10 songs and say, okay, these five make the record. Those were literally the five songs I wrote. Like, when I wrote Super Wonderful, I recorded it a week after I sat down and recorded it, and then I worked out the parts in the studio as we were recording it. So
what comes first, the song or the music?
For me, it's the music, and then I'll have with Super Wonderful, I had the there she goes walking away for me. That kind of happened initially, and so I would just keep singing that over and over again, you know, and I've been playing it over and over again until finally, you know, everything else kind of just came out. And then it just turned into, you know, it kind of just evolved into that musically and vocally. And actually with that song, when you listen to it, that it's like the vocal line is, it's like two lead vocal parts harmonized together, kind of like a Beatle kind of a thing. And I remember when I was recording that song, the producer came up to me, my friend, he's a very good friend of mine, his name is Iran, he came up, he's talking to me about the song, and he's like, I had just recorded just the lead vocal line to it, and he said, Will, you really need to do a harmony to this, but it has to be a lead, almost like the Beatles. And and my reaction was, no, not interested. It's done. Leave it alone. Yeah. And he's like, no, you have to do a harmony to this. He goes, go home, think about it, write a harmony part, think about it, have it, correspond to the lead track, you know, and we worked on it together, and it came out, and I was like, holy crap, now it sounds like, you know, a completely different song. This is incredible. And he's like, see, I told you.
Yeah,
so
know.
it was really quite remarkable how that song came to be, because when I thought I was done with it, I really wasn't. And then it turned into, and I think that if not for him, you know, drilling that into my skull, that I really need to add something else to it, I don't think it would sound like the song that it is today.
So when you get the ideas in your head, do you write them on a bit of paper or record it in a tape deck or on your phone? Or how do you do it? Like you said, walk around singing that bit of the song. Is that, how do you do it?
Well, yeah. Well, now because I have my iPhone, I'll just walk around with my iPhone, and I'll just, if I get an idea, you know, I'll just start singing into my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I have time, I'll sit down with the guitar and I'll start working it out.
Hmm.
And then that's basically my process. I mean, it really depends on where I'm at, what I'm doing, because, you know, inspiration strikes at the most random times.
Yes, I've heard a few.
You know,
few weird and wonderful ideas from people.
So what do you do, Will, when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you get an idea?
You discipline yourself to get out of bed. To just take the 5 minutes, 10 minutes to just get it out and get it down. And because you never know when your next song that, you know, your next hit, quote unquote, is going to happen. You never know. So you have to keep every idea. You know, I mean, I'm on the train and I hear people talking and I'm like, wow, that's a great idea for a song. Let me jot that down.
Yeah.
You know?
So you do sometimes write it down as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whatever I have around me, if I have a piece of paper, if I have, you know, anything. Yeah, and it sucks that because you have those rare occasions where you have nothing, your phone's dead, you can't find a pencil or a pen anywhere, you don't have any paper, so you gotta, like, just keep singing it in your head or keep saying it in your head until you get to a place where you can actually jot it down and then you forget it.
A good idea, if you're with a girl, grab her lipstick or a mascara, or eye pencil. They're very good for that on a serviette.
Exactly, you can do that. I mean, I feel I'm blessed that I have ideas. I have a lot of ideas.
Oh, so that's good. So where do you think you'll be in, say, 5 years' time?
Hopefully, I'm able to continue writing songs and putting out records, and I'm able to do that. I mean, I think for me, it's not about, you know, making a gazillion dollars per se. It's really about being able to continue to do it. And I think for me, that's the most important thing. It's to be able to, you know, to go on the road and do shows, to keep on connecting with people, and to keep on making records and not be, you know, and who knows? I mean, I may go and record a country record. I mean, I think with Zelda, we talked about it. And, you know, that's a very, for me, it's something that I've wanted to do. I mean, I'm Hispanic, so I also want to record some songs in Spanish. So I really just want to continue making music. And, you know, and I mean, honestly, for my own sanity, it's, you know, everybody has an outlet, whatever that is. My outlet is to write songs and to get them out. And I think that as long as I'm able to continue doing that, you know, it's, for me, it's a gift. It's a blessing to be able to do that and to be able to, you know, and on any level, even if I'm, you know, even if I'm continuing to struggle, and I don't even really consider it struggling, because when you're doing what you love, it doesn't really matter. No. And I also think that if you look at a lot of artists, on whether it be film or whether it be music or anything, the ones that are struggling are the ones that are doing their best work, you know? And it's amazing because you have to finagle things. You have to make ends meet in order to produce it. So I think you put more of your heart and soul into it than if you have everything there readily available. You're not as, you know, you don't have to work anymore. It's just kind of just there. And so I think that that's in some ways, I think, it helps artists release, you know, stay creative and be innovative and to continue to change music or film or art, and the things that are out there. Because I think that I am of the school as when you have to struggle to make it happen, you tend to make it happen, and you tend to make it happen in a very, very big way, unbeknownst to yourself. You know, but others will see that, and others will go, wow, look what this guy did with nothing. I mean, I think a great example of that is you look at the first Star Wars movie. You know, George Lucas made that on what Hollywood would consider like no money, and he put his heart and soul into it, and he created, you know, something unreal that still holds up today. Now you see the geek in me.
No. But the thing is, it's not just a, like you said, you don't strain about it. You can, to me, I can hear the glow in your voice and the gleam in your eyes, and it's not a thing you have to do it. It's a part of you. It's a gift that you were put here for, you know, to create music. And I think I honestly, personally, and I'm not pissing in your pocket, I think that you will go a long way because you've got that drive and you really want to get there. And when you come to Australia, I'll say this on behalf of Channel Irk, Irk will take you for a train drive on one condition. You write him a train song.
It's consider it done.
And we'll even send you across the Harbour Bridge. You know, they've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge now. They've got that tour where you climb to the top of the harbour and see all on top of the Harbour Bridge. They have this tour walk. I think that would do your emotions and things the world of good, you know, and I think you could get a couple of songs out of that as well. So I really wish you well, and I want you to keep in contact with us. I'll keep an eye on you on Facebook and your newsletters that I get.
Yes.
But, you know, later on up the track, when you're going a lot more advanced, I'd like to re-interview you again, and we can chat back about this.
Of course.
And have a good yarn about it all.
Thank you, and feel free. I mean, contact me anytime. You know, you can always contact. I'm always readily available, so no problem.
So to finish up, why don't we hear Better Way? Tell us, Will, a little bit about Better Way.
Better Way was written out of frustration and also admiration, because I think I had just played a venue and I was really negative about it because I was on stage and I'm like, I'd like to thank the light post for showing up and the chair in the corner for showing up because
been there, done that. There's nothing worse when you got yourself all psyched up and prepared all your music and everything else, and been to a few shows like my partner, you know, and I used to feel sorry for the poor guy. So we'd get down in the audience and we'd move around, you know, to make it look bigger, and we'd sing out and, you know, sing out our requests to make, you know, people in the other room think, oh, Jesus, big crowd in there.
Exactly.
They are frustrating shows, those. But Vince used to always say, well, it's this way, I'm getting paid to practice.
Exactly.
So
that's
a thing to keep in the back of your mind. It's not your fault that the people didn't turn up.
Exactly.
You know, say it's a paid practice.
Exactly. And it was just so funny because it was funny because I'm on stage and I'm like, thank you, Lightpost, for showing up tonight. Thank you, Chip, for being here. And also, you know, so I'm, you know, and everybody in the band was just, they were just
laughing.
They were just, what is wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with you?
Well, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. Isn't that right?
Exactly. So you know, I'm walking, I go home later that night and I'm like, man, it's gotta be a better way to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a better way. So it just turned into that and basically that song is really about it's really about, you know, just because it doesn't work out for you doesn't mean that, you know, it can't work out for you.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you trust. You know, and for me, that, you know, a lot of it's a very personal song because it's about me really looking inside of myself and saying, Will, is this what you really want to do? You know, do you really want to pursue this? Is this something that's, you know, that's a part of you that is inside of you?
Mm.
And if it is, it's not about who comes to your shows or how many people show up. It's about you and enjoying what you do.
That's right.
And so that's what that song is really about, you know, and it's about trusting in a higher power, you know, trusting that, you know, that this is for the best, and that whatever is happening at that moment, it's supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be that way. It's a lesson. It's, you know, and that show really, and playing a venue to a chair and to a light post really pushed me to work harder.
Yeah.
You know, and it really made me realize, like, well, you just don't, and this, I think, goes for a lot of artists out there. You just don't record a record and then expect throw it out on the middle of the street and expect people to go and love it and to want to hear it more. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You have to be open, and you have to expose people to it. People just aren't going to naturally find you. Even with MySpace and with Facebook, you have to still expose people to your music. Yeah. If you don't expose people to whatever it is you're working on, they're not going to know about it. And if they don't know, they're not going to care.
Have you got your music up on iTunes?
Yes, I am on iTunes, yes.
All right. Have to have a look.
My music is listed on iTunes. Mm. And pretty much iTunes, eMusic, CD Baby. My record Stay is on pretty much every music retailer site. Amazon, it's on Amazon also. So you can get it. There's so many ways to get it. But again, that goes without saying, if you don't know it's there, you're not going to.
Well, that's right.
You're not going to go there. You know, so it's just one of those things that you have to constantly expose people to your music. And that's the only way you're going to, you're going to have any kind of success, if that's what it is, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, I don't think a lot of artists, I don't think a lot of artists get that. I think a lot of artists just naturally assume through osmosis, you know, their record's going to be the next big thing. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, even with known artists, artists that are world famous, they can put out a record, but if they don't market it properly, they don't let people know it's coming out, no one's going to care. No one's going to be like, oh, you know, so you have to be, you know, it's something that now, because of the internet, because of all these great, because of this great, all this technology, you have to use it to your favor.
That's right.
And, you know, you don't have to spend millions of dollars on a campaign to get the word out. You can actually, you sit down in front of your machine and email people, talk to people, connect with people.
Word of mouth is very good.
Exactly. And word of mouth is still the best. It's the oldest form and still the best form of advertising is word of mouth.
Yeah, we used to say, tell a phone, tell a woman, tell a man.
Exactly. And it's still the truest form.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of banner advertising and no amount of, of TV commercials or whatever it is you want to do is going to help if people aren't talking about you.
Mm.
You know, unfortunately, people will talk, you know, in negative ways, but they say no publicity is good publicity. It's bad publicity, right? So
that's right.
I guess, you know, when you catch someone like Britney doing something stupid or, her publicist loves it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yes,
sells.
You know, keep it coming, you know.
So let's hear Better Way, and we'll expose some more people to this song.
Thank you.
Maybe this time will be the last time I feel like a failure. Being tired and uninspired's not gonna get me anywhere. And I don't know somewhere, heads all mixed up and no real answers, just get me out of here. And I know there's got to be a better way, and I know without you I'd never get this far, and you gave me all that you could give, as long as you're here, it's gonna be better. So much more, falling apart every time. I can't go on living like this. I'm closed off and not sure why. So angry all the time. I can't go on like this. And I know
You're listening to IRC FM episode number 86 with Will Daines. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate, having a chat. Good luck for the future. Have you got any albums in the offing?
Yes, I'm working on a new record. It's called Songs in the Key of L. And I'm hoping to have it released by the summertime, May, June. I have a single that I've actually finished called I Don't Care, which I will be sending you if you don't have it already, so you guys can hear it. And I would really love to hear your opinions on it. So please, any feedback would be greatly appreciated.
I'm honest.
Please. And that should be coming out like May, June. Right. I'm still working on, I'm hashing out the what tracks are going to go on the record. And it's been kind of, it's been a process because I've actually thought more about how I want this record to be perceived, then would stay where I just put the music on the record and released it, and that was it. This I'm actually doing there's a lot of thought and a lot of, you know, does this work? Does that work? Because now I'm actually taking the time to actually think about it rather than just, hey, here's a song, it's done, okay, that's it. So it's a process, and I didn't, you know, and it's still new to me. So, you know, it's hopefully when it comes out, it will be received just as well as Stay was. And, well, you know, and if not, there'll be one after that, and there'll be another one after that. And, you know, and maybe one day I'll get it as close to right as I can, but I don't think you can. I think you just do what comes out of you, and then that's it, you know, and then you can, and then you just roll with it.
Well, you hear it here first on Channel IRC. That Mr. Will Daines will be sending us his new recording, and you'll hear it on Judy's Blast FM coming
every
up.
Sunday.
No, not every Sunday, but sometime
June. Your show's on every Sunday.
My show's on every Sunday, but I'm going to give you the privilege of me helping you to launch it. Will, how would you like that?
That would be fantastic. I would greatly appreciate it.
And we'll launch it down here and down under, so you get me a copy out, and then we'll have it ready for when the big launch day, and we can work on a date.
Yes, and you'll be one of the, you will be, if not the first person to have it.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So that would be great. I really appreciate that.
No, that's my pleasure.
Awesome. So it's been a great interview. Thank you, Will.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
That's our pleasure.
And thank you, Judy.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to IRC FM. Don't forget to check out all our shows across Channel IRC, including Judy's Blast FM on Sundays, every Sunday. Until next time, I'm IRC, and wherever it is that you hear me across Channel IRC, good night interweb.
Good night interweb.
You have been listening to a Channel IRC production. Channel IRC and all 5 podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel IRC, go to www.channelirc.com.